Today, I'm beginning a brand new sermon series called Illuminate, and I'm convinced and convicted that this is going to change the way that we do church. This subject is about evangelism, and before we jump into it any farther, I just want to pray and ask God to bless us today. Would you pray with me? Lord, today we have come into this house. We've worshiped you. We have evoked your presence, Father. We have asked that you would come and dwell with us today. And so, Father, I pray that once again, as you have done many times before, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you are saying to your church. I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, let that which I'm about to say not fall on deaf ears. Let us hear it. Let us understand it. Let us apply it to our hearts. And Father, I'm so grateful that you are speaking to your church and you are ready to mobilize this army right here at the Brownstone Church in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, I've titled it Illuminate, and as we study, you'll see why, and hopefully the title will help you remember what I'm about to say. This morning, I want you to leave with one thought in your mind. I want you to leave knowing that you have a calling on your life to be an evangelist. Now, I know some of you are thinking, aren't evangelists the people on TV that beg for money or buy crazy things and wear weird hair and all that stuff? Or aren't those the kind of people that show up about every 6 months in the churches I came from, and they would come in and they would blow in and they would blow up and they would blow out? Isn't that what an evangelist is? Isn't that the kind of person we're talking about? Why would you say that I've been called to be an evangelist? Well, because God has called all of us to evangelize the world. And you might have the wrong opinion of an evangelist based on your history, based on your past, based on your television viewing. You may watch some things and you may not understand it, but never underestimate the power of the evangelist. Actually, the definition of evangelist is very similar, or is very simple. It's a zealous advocate of something. A zealous advocate of something. You see, you can be an evangelist about anything. Today, there are evangelists that are zealous advocates about everything from fitness to climate change to healthcare reform to animal cruelty to gun control. But God has called all of us to be zealous first and foremost about Him. That's the whole purpose of an evangelist. The Great Commission is found in Matthew, the 28th chapter. You have it there in your Bible. If you would look at verses 18 through 20, it says like this in the New Living Translation. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is considered the Great Commission. Notice it's not considered the Great Suggestion. It was a commission. He said something similar in Mark, the 16th chapter, and it says it like this, 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Notice that Jesus told all of the disciples to go, and that applies to us today. Now, maybe the disciples that were alive when Jesus said that have died, but they told other people who were younger and lived longer. And then those people told some other people, and those people told some other people, and those people told some other people, until it finally came 2,000 years later to you and I. And here we stand today as disciples of Jesus, and we are called to go. Perhaps no other verse says it better, though, than Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 14 and 16. This is a little bit of what I'm going to speak on today, and this is why we call this series Illuminate. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light Let me say that again. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, the little song we played, This Little Light of Mine, is more than just a cute little song that we teach children and have hand motions and occasionally shows up in an offertory. It's actually a commitment that we should make every day. We should wake up in the morning and say, Lord, this little light of mine, I want to make it shine wherever I go today because I want you to know that I am here to do whatever you've called me to do. Now, Genesis, the first chapter, says it like this in verse 2. It says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. But in verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. The very first words that God ever spoke were, let there be light, and then there was light. I'm thankful for that. You see, we live in dark times. We live in darkness right now around us. There is a lot of darkness in the world. Do you believe it? If you watch the news, you will see there's a lot of darkness in the world that we live. But we should never be defined by Genesis 1 and 2, which spoke of the darkness. But we should hold on to Genesis 3, 1 and 3 that says, let there be light. Because God has called us to be light. Here's something you need to know. Every time God gets ready to do something great, he turns the light on. Every time he gets ready to do something great, he turns the light on. Think about men like Billy Graham who came into the world and began to minister. This was a dark time in the world. We're talking about the 40s and the 50s. There was war going on. Billy Graham came into the world at that time and began to have a great ministry. God lit up the world through his crusades. David Wilkerson was a great man who died the last few years, and he was the one who started Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge was this great organization back in the 60s, there was the drug epidemic all over the world, and God sent this man from Pennsylvania to New York City to start this ministry, and it was an amazing thing that God did through this one man and brought light to so many. I'm reading a book right now by Reinhard Bonnke, a German evangelist who has had millions of people come to know the Lord in Africa simply because at the right time, God said, I want you to go and shine the light in Africa. Now, he had been a missionary in Africa for a few years, and he was doing it one way. He was missionizing. He was becoming a missionary the way that he had always been taught. This is how we do missions. But somewhere along the way, he decided it wasn't working. And he began to hear the stirring of the Lord say, I want you to start doing crusades. And he stepped out and began to do crusades. And now he's still alive. He's in his late 70s. But he's seen untold millions of people come to know the Lord because God put him as a light in a dark place. You, the Bible says, are the light. Not just those great men. Not everybody else. Not just a few special ones. But you. 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 What defines you? Your money? If your money defines you, what happens when you lose your money? What about your talent? Does your talent define you? Because you see, here's what I know about talent. You might have talent, but somebody else has more. What about your career? That thing that you put 40, 50, 60 hours a week into for 40 and 50 years, and then one day a 24-year-old that graduates from college gets your job. They give you a gold watch and say, God bless you. See you later. And that's how careers go, right? That's really the way careers work. So let that not define you. How about your education? You go to school, you work, you go 12 years to school, you go 4 years of college, you think a master's degree's going to get you somewhere, and so you get the master's degree, and next thing you know, you're struggling, and you can't let that define you. That's not who you are. How about your looks? Anybody want to talk about looks? You ever heard anybody say, man, I used to really look good? Yeah, that just fades over time. How about the trophies and successes that you've had? Those are just fleeting. Or how about this? Could you be defined by your failures? Could you be defined by your current situation? You're not defined by the hell you're going through. You're defined by the heaven that you're going to. I'll just say that again. You're not defined by the hell that you're going through. You're defined by the heaven that you're going to. You don't need to worry about what Satan is saying to you. You just need to remember what God has already said about you. And he said, you are the light of the world. I think that's a good word from the Lord. The size of your praise is always proportionate to the amount of hell that he brought you out of. Some of the folks that were here today had no problem lifting their hands and singing, and tears came down their eyes when we began to speak about the name of Jesus and all that he had done for us and who he was in our life, because we remember what it was like before he was in our life. And now that he's in our life, we can remember everything that he has brought us through. And so when it comes time to praise, we have no problem worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has changed us and brought us out of darkness into light. Can I get a witness from you? Amen. We are what we believe. Somebody put it best when they said, when the world throws rocks at you, build an altar. See, silence is not an option. We must respond. The price that Jesus paid for you demands an action from you, not just a casual observance and a weekly visit to church. There's too much at stake for us to be found asleep at the wheel when we should be charging forward like we're on a mission, because we are. I love what Samuel Rodriguez said. He said, today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. You see, there's a lot of people who have just let the opportunities pass by. Don't let the opportunity to make a difference pass you by while you're busy with the unimportant things that make no difference. This is more urgent than any of us realize. Time is running out for those who don't know the truth. Why are we so afraid to tell somebody the truth about God? Why are we so afraid to speak up and just share truth with them? Are we afraid they won't like us? Would we rather them like us all the way to hell than for us to ever give them the opportunity to make a decision for themselves? You see, I want to stand before God knowing that I gave people an opportunity to come to know the Savior, to come to know the one who died for them, rather than saying, Lord, I made them laugh, I made them happy, they left, they came to church, so we had the place was full, we had wonderful people every Sunday here, and we did some great things. Nobody got saved, nobody was changed, but it was a real good church. That's not what God's called us for. That's not what God's called me for. That's not what God's called you for either. We don't want people to leave unchanged. We are what we tolerate. You see, we've accepted some things that we have the power to rebuke. Let me say that again. We are what we tolerate. The church has accepted far too many things that we have the power to rebuke. We just simply say, well, Lord, this is just the way it is. This is how the world is around me. This is what we just have to put up with, because after all, this is just the world that we've been given. And God is saying, I have given you authority. I have given you a power. I have given you the ability to step up and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. Get out of here. Get off of that person. Leave this church. Leave that man. Leave that woman. Get out of my family. You're not welcome here anymore. That's the power that God has given all of us. We're waiting for God to come down, and Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up. We just say, God, when you show up, we'll do something. If you'll just show up, we'll do something. And God is saying, I've already shown up. I've already shown up. I sent the very best that I had. And now it's your turn. God doesn't call people who are perfect. He doesn't call people who have it all together. He doesn't call the one who has it all. He calls the one who's willing to give it all. No one's perfect, but I've seen some incredibly messed up people do some incredible things for God because they've moved past incredible failures and success and excuses and moved into their credible calling. Have you ever known somebody and you look at their life and you think, how could God use somebody like that? And yet he does. He takes people who have messed up past. He takes people who have a sordid past. He has people who have lived in darkness for so long, and they finally come out into the light and they cannot help themselves. They simply stand in front of people and they say, I don't know what to tell you. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. That is the greatest testimony that you can share with somebody. You can tell them all kinds of wonderful things about themselves. You can tell them how great they are. You can tell them you like them. You're not as bad as other people say you are. But the greatest thing you will ever tell a person is, I know somebody that can set you free. I know somebody that died for you. I know somebody that will change you and bring you out of the darkness that you live in. That dark place that you go to every night in your dreams. That dark place that when you go to sleep at night haunts you in your mind. I know somebody that can take you from that darkness and move you into light. I know somebody that can take you beyond your own abilities. Hallelujah. Here's what you need to know about darkness. Every time darkness stands next to light, light wins. I think I need to say that a little bit louder. Every time darkness stands next to light, light wins. I still didn't hear it enough. Maybe a little louder. Every time darkness stands next to light, light wins. Because you see, it doesn't take a lot of light. It just takes a little bit of light, and God will light up a room with just a little bit of light. You don't have to have all the answers. Some people are waiting to get it all figured out before they ever do anything for God. Have you ever known that? Have you ever known people like that who just say, well, one of these days I'm going to get my act together, and then when I get my act together, I'll go out and I'll do something for God, and God will move upon me to do something for Him. You know, sometimes you just need to start moving and let God direct you. It's easier, like I've said before, it's easier to steer a wild horse than it is to resurrect a dead one. Come on. Just get it. It's called the power of it's motivation. I mean, it's momentum. As you get going, you'll find more momentum going along with you, and God will steer you in the right direction. It's time to remove the bowl off of the lamp. It's Jesus. Matthew said, instead, put it on a stand. Put it out where everybody can see it. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, for you were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to live like it matters. He wants us to live like we're living on purpose. He don't want just you to go through life just being here today, and tomorrow we're just kind of here again, and we're just kind of putting our time in on the earth so we can get to heaven in the great by and by. You know, that's just some people, that's kind of what they live for. They have given up on doing anything because they feel like, well, Lord, when I was young, I missed my opportunities. And then now that I'm old, I don't have any opportunities. And you know what? God is, when you have a strong witness, when you have a witness in within you, the opportunities will come to you. If you'll plan on what you're going to say, I promise you, God will put somebody in front of you where you can say it every time. I've seen people who just run into people all the time. Joy and I were at a place yesterday. We started talking to somebody, and this person began to tell us about his ministry that he's in. It was like this. We went and ate at a restaurant, and before we left the restaurant, we'd talked to two people, and they both were believers, and I just imagine that God puts things like that together for all of us. We're not unique in that. I don't have pastor written across my forehead. I might look the part sometimes, but yesterday I had a hat on, so... I probably didn't. Some of you should have been dead by now. Anybody here? Some of you should have been dead by now, but you know why you're still alive? Because God's not finished with you. God's still got something for you to do. If God was through with you, he could think of something. He's got a place prepared for you, but He's not just waiting for you to. He says, you know, if he's just waiting on somebody else to do your job, he'd just kill people, you know, along the way and say, well, I'm done with them. I'll take them. But he's left us here on purpose. He has a job for each one of us to do. He's got a job for you to do. This means, and I love the verse in Romans, the 11th chapter in verse 29, God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. His gifts and his call are irrevocable. What does that mean? It means that he's not going to change his mind about you. He's not, that gift, that calling that he placed upon you, he's not going to take it back. It's the calling he called you for. John 1 and 5 said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You see, in the 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, 3rd verse, it begins this way. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Remember the story? Samuel was the prophet. He was a little boy. Eli was the prophet. And this is not just physically speaking, it's figuratively speaking too. Because there was a lamp that burned in the temple each day, and it was at nighttime, and so you could have been talking about the fact that it was slowly dimming, but it hadn't gone out completely. But I believe it was also talking about the nation of Israel, because Eli and his sons had not led properly. They had not done everything that God had asked them to do. Wickedness, sin had entered into the temple, and some bad things were happening in the nation. And the light had dimmed. The darkness had started creeping in, but it hadn't gone completely out yet. And God raised up a little boy by the name of Samuel, who was the light that brought it all back. America's in a dark place. The world is in a dark place. But I have news for you. The light, the lamp of God, has not gone out yet. We are here today to attest to the fact that the lamp of God has not gone completely out. Sure, it may be a little dim, but it's not gone out completely. When God gets ready to do something great, I said it before, he turns on the light. At the beginning of last century, the world was in shambles, and God turned on the light of Azusa Street and changed the world forever. In the 1960s, with Vietnam War raging and racial tensions high in America, John F. Kennedy, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, all were assassinated. It looked like it couldn't get any worse. And then God turned on the light through what was known as the Jesus people. And more people came to know the Lord during that movement than any movement before. Isn't that amazing? God turned on these hippies. These hippies got saved. And the next thing you know, the world began to change because people in church didn't recognize it. They didn't think God was going to do it like that. Why would God do that? These people are wearing sandals. I mean, come on. You know, they got long hair. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. Some of y'all are laughing because you were there and you remember it. And it's nice to see you cleaned up today. I'm sure there's still a peace sign somewhere in your closet. Jesus, people, we are living right now in troubled times. There are wars being fought all over the world. There's racial tension in this country, global financial uncertainty, health concerns, gender confusion, mass killings in schools, churches, everywhere people gather. The enemies come to steal, kill, and destroy, but it's time for the light to shine again. It's time for the church to stand up and take its rightful place as the illumination of the divine King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We shine because he provides the power. We glow because we reflect the divine King. We go because he calls us. The Great Commission, as I said, isn't the great suggestion. It's a mandate, and we're soldiers, so we need to be the light. Because when darkness stands next to light, light always wins. Scripture tells us that you are an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? It's the highest ranking diplomat from your country. The highest ranking diplomat from your country. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5th chapter and 20th verse, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. Yes, today you're called. You're being called. We're called to be evangelists of light. We are the light and we are the hope of the world. Jesus left the responsibility to us, and nobody else is going to do it except us. They say that we only have one generation to reach another generation. That's how this works. One generation reaches the next generation. The light has gotten dim. There's some crazy things going on in the world, but he's called each of us to be evangelists in the world. Today, I want you to know you're called. This series is going to get deeper. It's going to get more practical maybe along the way. What I want to do today is just motivate you and let you know that you have a calling on your life. Don't ever forget that you have a calling as God has given you gifts and as he wants you to do something in the world today. Would you bow your head? So let me ask you a question with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just you. When was the last time you spoke to someone about Jesus? When was the last time you shared your faith? When was the last time you invited somebody to church or some Christian event where they could learn about Jesus? Have you ever considered your calling as an evangelist? Have you ever taken the moment to realize that that person that you see every day is going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell? Have you ever stop to think that those people that maybe God has put in your path are there for a reason, not just because you work near them or go to school near them, but God has given you, put a people directly in your path. You have a relationship with them. You have developed a relationship. You now have far exceeded the relationship requirements to be able to speak life into their situation. Today, I want to pray for this group. I believe God is getting ready to do something in the Brownstone where we're no longer just a church filled with people, nice people who come, nice people who enjoy spending time with each other, but we're going to become nice people who love the lost and are ready to see the lost come into the kingdom. Some will come to this church, some will go to other churches, but I want to be known as someone who loves the lost, who speaks for truth, who loves passionately about what he is passionate about, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So today, if you're here today and you would just simply say, Steve, I'm ready to be an evangelist for whatever God has for me, without anybody looking around, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you all over. I'm hoping that we have a whole bunch of evangelists right now raise their hands and say, I will accept the mantle that God has called me to have. So if you're here today and you'd say, I will accept the mantle that God has placed upon me to be an evangelist into the world that I live, I want you to raise your hand right now. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all over. Now, Father, this is what I know. When people are willing to step up, take the responsibility that you've called them to take, you will change their lives. You will not just change their lives, but you will change other people's lives as well. Many men and women in the Bible, Lord, have been timid to start with, and yet you still manage to give them favor. You still manage to use them mightily. You still manage to put them in the right place at the right time so they could minister to the people around them. You had jobs for them. And so just like those men and women in the Old Testament and some of those in the New Testament, we are here today saying, use us, Lord. If you can use anybody, Lord, you can use me. I believe, Father, that today is not a mistake. This is not an accident. You haven't called us to this place today just so that we could spend a little time in this wonderful old building, Lord. You have called us today so that we could hear your voice speak to us and deeply penetrate our hearts. I want you to know, Lord, that we are ready to step out of the boat. We are ready to move forward with what you've called us to do. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. In your seats beside you, you can look up. There are some cards. We had these printed this week. We have a couple of thousand of them. I want you to take these, put them in your purse, just put them in your car, hang on to them. We have a lot of them. This is a simple little device that we use just to invite people to the Brownstone. Sometimes all you need is a tool to invite somebody. You can get a conversation with somebody and the Lord opens up an opportunity for you to simply say, you guys have a church home? Somebody might come to you and say, I'm struggling with something. I don't know what I'm going to do with my son or my daughter. I don't know what I'm going to do about this health situation. I don't know what I'm going to do about my job. I don't know what I'm going to do about my relationships. There's all kinds of situations. And sometimes the opportunity affords itself to you to simply say, I know a place where you can get some help. I know a place where some wonderful people can minister to you. I know a place where they love you just like you are. And if you need to, we'd love for you to come, just give them this card. It says you are invited. It's got our name of the church on the back. It's got some pertinent information. They can go online. They can get us. There's a telephone number there. They can call. They can speak to me. And I'm happy for you to take these. We've got thousands of them, and we want you to take them. We're going to be using these. This is not complicated. Jesus never said, go into the world if it's easy. He simply said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So this is just one little tool And all we're going to do is start inviting some folks in the neighborhood and around. Take these, and I'd ask you to use those this week. So this series is going to be about evangelism. I know this is a subject that some people have near and dear to their hearts, and other people run from it because they say, I'm just too shy. Well, there's a lot of timid evangelists out there that God is using. There's some wonderful people out there that God has used. God knows your personality. He's not going to require more of you than you're capable of. He won't put more on you than you're capable of. But He knows what you are capable of, and He wants you to step out. So why don't you stand with me this morning? I'm going to speak a blessing over you before you leave today.